He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Glory, let us sing.
Through the sacrament of holy baptism, we have been raised with Christ to new life.
We have been given the new birth of the water and of the Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hear, O Lord, when I cry above. Alleluia. Your face, Lord, do I see. Hide not your face from me. Alleluia.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall
Lord, have mercy.
holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, for it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness. And from your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my just decrees. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Holy Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. That's quite a remarkable statement the Lord says to his people through his prophet Ezekiel. At first glance, it is rather jarring. What does the Lord mean that he acts not for the sake of his people, but for the sake of his holy name? It almost sounds a little selfish or vindictive, like he cares more about his reputation and his name than he does about his people. Of course, we know that the Lord is not being selfish or vindictive here, so there must be another meaning, and indeed there is. What the Lord means here is that he will save his people and make his name holy among them, despite them and their sinfulness, despite the fact that they have and will profane his name in many and various ways. What the Lord is saying here is that he will be faithful to his promises to bring salvation to sinners, even as the very sinners he saves work against him and even reject him. He will not be thwarted by sinners. He will accomplish his salvation in spite of them, even through them, as we know. In other words, we probably should rethink this idea we often entertain within our self-deceiving hearts and our self-deceiving minds, that the Lord saves us because we're just so darn lovable and savable, as if he just can't help himself. You know, the idea that he looks at us and says, how can I not save those people? They're just so cute and cuddly and nice, and they try so hard to be good, decent folks. Aw, shucks. Let me leave my place of glory, assume their flesh, go down and live and die for them. They deserve it, after all. Just look at them. I think a lot of this wayward thinking, and it is wayward thinking, comes from the oft misunderstood notion of probably the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. Some of you know what I mean by that, as I've preached and taught about this many times before, but the way John 3:16 is translated and often understood, it sounds as though God sent his only begotten Son into our world because he so loves us. He so loved the world. In fact, when you hear people quoting John 3:16, that's what they often do. They emphasize that little word, so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is not actually what the verse says. The word we translate so in John 3:16 is not an intensifier of the word love, but it is an indication of how God loved the world. The word so in that most famous of Bible verses doesn't mean so much. It means rather thus, or in this way. So that an accurate translation of John 3:16 would read, for God loved the world thus, or thusly, in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When the Lord says, it is not for your sake that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, what he is actually saying is that I do love you and will save you, despite the fact that you're so unlovable and unsavable in and of yourselves. That is the mystery of our faith, dear friends. God does love us. This is true. God himself is love. And Jesus is love incarnate, love in the flesh. But his love for us is not something we merit or earn in any way. In fact, he loves us in spite of the fact that we often profane his name in our thoughts, words, and deeds. He loves us in spite of the fact that we are sinners who don't deserve his love. He makes this clear through his apostle St. Paul when he says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for the ungodly." Notice how many times in this passage from Ezekiel the Lord says, "I will." It is not something that is conditional, something that these things that he says he will do are not something that depend on us. They're just things he says he will do. "I will vindicate my holiness. I will take you from the nations and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and replace it, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my ways. I will be your God, and you will be my people." The Lord is faithful. He will do all these things. He has done them all. And in doing all these things, he will and has proven himself to be faithful. He will show his name to be holy. That's the point. He will accomplish salvation for sinners, and he will create for himself a holy people, a beloved bride, a church from all over the world, bringing into that land, into that kingdom, sinners who are redeemed by Christ. And that holy people, though they be unholy in and of themselves, that beloved, even virginal, unblemished bride, his holy church, though they not be virginal or unblemished in and of themselves, he will bring to dwell in his kingdom, which lasts forever. And he will do all of this precisely because he has promised to do it, and he does not and cannot lie. These promises, again, that he makes are unconditional. There's no condition. And what a tremendous comfort that is to us poor, miserable sinners. He doesn't say, "I will do all these things. I will save you. I will put my spirit within you. I will cleanse you, sprinkle you with clean water. I will bring you into this land to dwell forever if you do all these things first." He simply says, "I will do it, despite the fact that you don't deserve it, that even in your old Adam, your sinful nature, you don't want it, and despite the fact you could never in a million years earn it, I will do it." Period. End of story. In the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed in the upper room, tells his disciples that he will send the Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth to them, who will bear witness about him, and that they also will bear witness about him. Again, there are no conditional ifs involved here, but the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, this is what's going to happen. These things will take place. The Holy Spirit will be sent to you. He will witness about me, and you too will witness about me. And in the way you will, and the way you will witness about me is that you will be put out of the synagogues. That you will even be killed by those who think they're offering service to God. That you will suffer for my name. But in that suffering, in that martyrdom, in the blood that is shed for my name's sake, my holy name, I will continue to plant and grow and make my holy church to thrive. And all of it came to pass just as the Lord Jesus had said. In fact, these things are still happening to this day. Those to whom the Lord has sent the Spirit of truth are still persecuted in many and various ways, large and small. Sometimes that persecution even resulting in being killed for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is not something that just happened back then and we read about in history books or have services about to honor those saints once in a while. But this is an ongoing reality for those to whom the Spirit of truth has been sent in this dead and dying world who bear the name of Christ. That they will be persecuted and often even killed for his sake. But that he will vindicate his holy name in them. That he will make them to be holy among the nations. And that in the end, when the end of all things comes, as St. Peter describes, he will show his holy nation, his holy people, his beloved bride, to be the holy people they are. Our Lord's martyrs, who testified with their own blood and even deaths throughout the ages, could stand confidently before their executioners only by the power of the Holy Spirit, and precisely because that Holy Spirit had given them the faith to believe and confess in their Lord Jesus Christ. Precisely because the Lord's Spirit was put within them, and they knew that this world is not all there is, that they would indeed dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so they do. On this last Sunday of Easter, dear friends in Christ, that same confidence is for you. For you are sinners, no doubt about that. But you are sinners redeemed by Christ the Crucified. For you too have been taken from among the worldly nations and brought into the eternal kingdom of your Lord Jesus Christ. You have been sprinkled with the clean water of holy baptism, which cleanses you from all sin. You have died with Christ, who gave his life on the cross as atonement for all your sins. And you have risen to new life with that same Christ who rose from the tomb on the third day. You have been absolved of all your sins in the holy name of your triune God, who puts his very name upon you at baptism and continues to reapply it every time his pastors say, "I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And every time you are blessed in the benediction by the threefold name of the Lord as you conclude service, you are fed upon his word by he himself. And more than that, mystery of mysteries, you are partakers of the divine nature here at the holy altar as you eat and drink of the crucified, risen, and ascended body and blood of your beloved Savior. Pay attention in the proper preface this morning in the communion liturgy to what it says, that you are made partakers of the divine nature. Thus says the Lord God to you then, O Holy Church, it is not for your sake, that is, not because of anything you have done or deserved, but for the sake of my holy name that I act on your behalf. I have sent the Helper, the Spirit of truth, to you. I have saved you. I have put my name upon you. I have cleansed you in the waters of baptism. I have forgiven all your sins. I have cleansed you anew in the blood of the Lamb and the Supper. You are my people, and I am your God. That is your confidence, beloved in Christ. That is your certainty, your hope, and it does not disappoint, never disappoints. Indeed, every day for as long as you live in this vale of tears, there is the sure and certain rock solid hope of your salvation in Christ. For your salvation is made sure not in what you have done, or what you will now do, what you do now, or what you will do, but in what your Lord Jesus Christ has done and continues to do for you. For the one who lived the perfect life you failed to live, and the one who died on the cross for all of your sins, is not dead, but lives. He ascended into heaven in his resurrected and glorified flesh and blood to rule over all things. And so he does. He is your light and your salvation. Whom then shall you fear? He is the stronghold of your life. Of whom then shall you be afraid? He makes his great name holy by making sinners into saints, by making a people who were not his people to become his people, by adopting sinners redeemed by Christ, bearing his holy name into his divine family, so that they live and dwell with him forever. On this last Sunday of Easter, hear the good news. You belong to Jesus Christ, and thus you are holy. Let your confidence and your hope rest there, for he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaims before his passion. As we rejoice in Christ's ascension, where he is seated at your right hand, let us not grow impatient, but ever remain watchful, not only for the Spirit's work among us in the word, water, bread, and wine, but also for the coming again of Christ to judge the living and the dead. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God Almighty, even as you bless your servants with various and unique gifts of the Holy Spirit, continue to grant us the grace to use them always to your honor and your glory. Especially do we implore you to open our lips, that our mouths may declare your praise to our family and friends and neighbors who do not believe in you, and in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, you have blessed creation with the gift of motherhood. Give mothers the strength, patience, and courage to tend to the duties you have given them. Look especially upon women who are unable to bear children. Ease their pain and always assure them of your never-failing love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. You chasten and you heal. You kill and you make alive. Show mercy to your servants, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Cole, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Boyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, Mark Barker, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schaub, Pastor Dan Chambers, Miriam Sullivan, John Lemmerman, Randy Bradley, Kimberly Tolk, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Noah Truesdell, Pat Howard, Mark Wood, and Irene Standen. Spare their lives and restore their strength. Even as you gave your Son to bear our infirmities and sicknesses, deal compassionately with your servants and bless them with your healing power. We commit them to your gracious mercy and protection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Everlasting God, at your Son's gracious invitation, we come to this holy altar to eat and drink the very body and blood he gave for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Let this holy supper impart new life and vigor, that our faith may increase daily, ever humble and contrite for our sins, in love and service to you and to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, who in the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, spoke peace to the world, and in the blood of his cross opened the way to all mankind to find peace with you and in you, lift high the cross that every eye may see. Kindle every heart with the fire of your Holy Spirit, that all may receive the way of life in Jesus Christ, and that following his holy example and burning with his zeal of service, all may be one in him. Let your peace possess every heart and rule in all the nations of the world through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Before you are seated, I would like to invite the mothers in our congregation to come forward for the blessing. The rest of you, please. Heavenly Father, a few moments ago we petitioned you on behalf of all mothers. Now we place the mothers in our midst before your gracious throne and beseech you on their behalf. As a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth and grant that their children may love and honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Give them joy this day, O God, which we have set aside in our calendar year to remember and honor them. May the love, honor, and respect their children show them on this day be a reflection of the love you have for them and for all your children. Grant this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Dear mothers, the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Thank you. should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, after his resurrection, appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine nature. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away.
body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you.
The
very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Shed for you.
May the Lord bless and keep you in your perpetual vows all the days of your life. Amen.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you.
Of Christ. Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.